Okay, so quick question. What if I told you failure could actually be fun? Like genuinely enjoyable. You probably think I lost my mind, but today's guest is here to prove that the best things in life, on stage and off, happen when you let yourself fail spectacularly and have a blast while doing it. Hey, peeps, welcome back to Workday Playdate with Improve It. I'm Erin, and this is the podcast where we talk about work, leadership, and culture in ways that actually help. And if you love the show, please leave us a 5-star review wherever you're listening. It takes 30 seconds, and it makes an entire team do a happy dance. Now, this month on the show, we're exploring the concept of F words at work, quote unquote, failure. And today we're flipping the script on that word because most of us have been taught that failure is something to avoid, something to recover from, something to apologize for. But what if failure is actually where the fun lives? What if the reason we are so burned out and so stuck is because we've squeezed all the play out of the process? Now, here's what the data says. Research on psychological safety shows that teams who feel free to take risks and fail without punishment are not only more innovative, they actually report higher job satisfaction. In other words, the willingness to fail does not just make you better at your job, it makes you like your job more. And here's the epiphany, y'all. Failure is only miserable when you are white-knuckling control the entire time. The second you let go, the second you treat it like an experiment instead of an exam, it stops being scary and it starts being kind of fun. Ask any improviser. We fail for a living and we love it. Now, if this is hitting home, we have a quiz for you in the show notes called How Do You Lead Through Failure and Uncertainty? It helps you discover how you naturally respond to failure and uncertainty and gives you practical techniques you can start using right now. Go take it. The link is in the show notes. But now, let me introduce you to someone who has turned failing into an art form in the best possible way. Today's guest is an Improve It family member. Catherine Savage has been with Improve It since 2016, and if you've ever been in one of her workshops, you know exactly why I'm grinning from ear to ear right now. She is electric. Now, Catherine is a Chicago-based actor and writer originally from Massachusetts. She writes and performs with the Second City National Touring Company, and she improvises with Sight Unseen and Blast at I.O. Her TV credits include Chicago PD on NBC, and she is a proud alumna of Brown University. Now, on top of performing, Catherine facilitates improv and business soft skill workshops through Second City and Improve It for clients ranging from healthcare to manufacturing. She teaches improv, sketch, storytelling, and wellness at Second City. She's an adjunct faculty at DePaul University, and she's coached award-winning improv teams and directed original comedic shows. Basically, she lives in the space where failure happens every single night, and she's figured out how to make it the best part. Catherine Savage, welcome to Workday Playday!
Hello! What an intro.
That intro. I know, it's a lot. That's a lot of talking on my part, but also you've done a lot, ma'am.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to reflect on that.
My peeps, I hope you are enjoying the show. We'll be right back after a quick break from our sponsors. Thank you for supporting those who support the show. You're listening to Workday Playdate on the Passion Struck Network. Now back to our show.
When I started with Improve It, I was such a young buck out in the scene.
Okay, wait, normally I start with an intention. We're going to start right there. Let's tell the peeps, our community, how we met in Under the Gun Theater and the show that we performed in together.
Yes. Erin had a brilliant idea for a show of improvised bachelor or improvised bachelorette. I think we did kind of both versions at different points. Yes. And so I was part of that cast where we, I really specifically remember our photo shoot where we all wore like gowns, but it was a really fun show. And Aaron got different, actual contestants from The Bachelor or Bachelorette to come be part of the show. And it was a surprise hit. And I met so many incredible people. Including this connection that we made. And I think pretty soon after, I joined the Improve It team.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And truly, who knew how that thing was going to blow up, but it did. And I'm so, Catherine, it's been so cool to watch you evolve as a performer. I mean, holy crap. Just gone from like an amazing performer to like outstanding performer. And Catherine, I'm just going to brag on you, is a very smart improviser. You play to the top of your intelligence every time. It's so, so cool to watch. So
thank you.
You should be proud of what you have created. Started on the Improvised Bachelor to now. Okay.
I know. A journey, a hero's journey.
A real journey. And that's what they call it on the show. This is your love journey. Okay. So I want to start just by how we do it. In every Improve It workshop, we set an intention for our time. So what is a word that you either want to give or receive today? What's one word?
Connection.
I love that. Why connection?
I think that, I think that probably everyone's hungry for that to a certain extent. And I know for me personally, there's all kinds of ways to connect and reconnect with this work, with the people who do this work, with the basics and the philosophy of the work. And so I'm excited to connect with you. We haven't gotten to see each other face to face in a while, and to connect, reconnect with this work and why I love it and why I do it.
You're so good at it. I love it. And I want to set just a stage. You know how we ask for any location when we ask for suggestions from the audience. If we could have this play date in any location in the world, where are we right now, Catherine? Take me. Where are we?
We are on a beach in the Mediterranean.
Oh, yes. Okay. What are we doing?
We have snacks and drinks coming, and we had a fun day of adventuring and seeing things, and this is late afternoon, and we are relaxing and taking in the joys of our travel and our journey together.
Yes, all the snacks. All the great snacks. It's not an Improve It excursion if there isn't snacks. Okay. Right? Okay, I love that. And I'm here with you. I'm picturing it. We're on the Mediterranean. I feel the waves. Okay, so I'm just going to go straight into it. This is a hard turn. There's no segue. This was one of your questions, and I love it. What failure or which failure in your life was the most fun?
I think, you know, there are big ones, probably, if I were to really zoom out and think about that. When I think about a specific failure that really brought me a lot of joy, it was a show I did at Under the Gun, where we first met.
Yeah.
And my friend Ida and I thought it would be hilarious to recreate key scenes from The Parent Trap.
Haley, what's her name? Haley Mills. Is it Haley Mills or the one with Lindsay Lohan? Like OG?
The one with Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And specifically the scene where Chessie figures it out because Hallie, or who is supposed, Annie playing Hallie, is speaking in French. Okay. The real fans will know the scene. But we thought that would be hilarious, and we like worked on it. We were doing impressions, but also we were doing a melodramatic portrayal of it, and we were cracking each other up, getting it together. And then we put it up in front of an audience, and not a single laugh.
Oh,
just complete crickets. I don't know if people just didn't know it, or it didn't make sense why we're recreating it. In retrospect, we had no joke or comedic take on it. We just wanted to do the Parent Trap.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember making eye contact with Ida in that moment and just wanting to laugh and thinking, this is the most fun ever, because we can do this and we're still here to survive. We're surviving this.
Yep.
And I think it just set the stage for me longer term to understand that if I'm doing it with someone else, if there's that shared recognition of, oh, this is going down, but we are fully committed to the thing we said we would do for right now. There's a lot of joy and connection in that, to pick back that way.
There is like no feeling like that when you know you're on stage and it's bombing, but like you're like, we will go down with this ship together. Like that truly, you haven't lived until you've lived in that moment. I think you and I may have been in maybe the first couple of improvised Bachelor shows. We were just like finding our footing. And I just remember being like, well, that didn't hit. And it just, there's no feeling like that. But you were like, I just want to talk about the Parent Trap with Ida, my friend. And I want to talk about this very specific part of the show that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. So failure can be a gift, as we say on the stage. It really, there are no gifts. There are no mistakes. only McGifts. Oh, there are no mistakes, only McGifts. Look what
coming to McDonald's this summer, McGifts.
Yeah, you can get it as part of the McHappy Meal. So, okay, I love that story. And I think a lot of people listening who aren't improvisers, I would encourage you to just try bombing one time. Just try bombing, because it gives you chops. It's like working in a hospitality or in a restaurant. I feel like everybody should do it once in their life. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Okay. So I want to talk about perfectionism. And I love, you know, kind of picked your brain too. Like, what do you want to talk about? And this was something that came up for you, which I think is great. How does perfectionism affect your approach to improv and failure in general? Because I feel like those two are constantly in a constant battle with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Catherine, you are, like, I just want to brag on you again. You are such an intelligent performer. You play to the top of your intelligence every time. You're really smart with your humor, whereas I'm like, oh, Farb, you know, you're really, you are smart, you are witty, you are just on top of it. So talk to me about that kind of battle between improv and failure and perfectionism. What comes up for you?
I think that for me as a perfectionist, and I should also say that I get this perfectionism very much from my dad, who sadly recently passed away. So I've been thinking about this a lot, because it was something that he and I would talk about a lot, is like, oh, there's your perfectionism. You're putting too much pressure on yourself. And a thing that my dad modeled for me that I don't even know that I was totally conscious of was that he was always looking for ways to improve himself, and did that by surrounding himself with people who were better at certain things than him. And so I think he was very aware that he was a perfectionist and that he maybe needed some help surrendering some control to things. And when I look at who he picked as a partner in my mom, she is much more willing to go with the flow. She's much more, she leads with a sense of humor, and she leads with the human empathy versus the perfectionism. And so, and my dad did that really throughout his career. He did it in his personal relationships. And I think for me, that because that was modeled for me, I think that's kind of why I ran to improv, is because as much as improv might theoretically be an improviser's, or as much as improv might theoretically be a perfectionist's nightmare, it actually is, for me, the only thing that I found that really, like, sets me free from that perfectionism.
Yeah.
Because I can't, I mean, theoretically, I could go back and watch tape of me improvising, but that would be horrible. But you just have to leave it out there, and you have to make the next best choice that you can in the moment that you're in. And I think practicing that, like literally practicing that on stage, has made me build up that muscle in my entire life, that you can't make a perfect decision. You have to just make the next right decision. And that there's a lot of joy in letting go of that control. You have a lot more fun when you can, instead of thinking about your own version of perfect, focus on what is this other person doing and how can you be curious and excited and learn from what they're doing. And I think my dad really modeled that for me. And I think I've gotten a lot of that from improv as well.
Oh, well, as you know, we have been sending you so much love for your dad. And I know, Catherine, that he is so proud of the woman you are and the performer you are. You are just, I've seen you, like, we kind of grew up in the improv space together. And it is, I'm also a recovering perfectionist. So as somebody who really likes things to go a certain way, it really trains you to lean into the opposite and to really find fun and joy in that.
Mm-hmm.
And the exposure therapy improv was for me, was like real. Cause in high school, I was like the class clown, like voted class clown. I like to control that though. There was like control in that.
Yeah.
And the surrender that it takes to have improv really work is such a beautiful skill that just comes with doing it over and over again. And you've mastered it. You are doing it, Catherine. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I love witnessing the evolution. Like, this is one of the joys of what we get to do here, because you've literally been with Improve It since 2016, like 10 years, Catherine.
10 years.
It's crazy.
Hey, peeps, I hope you're enjoying the conversation here today. We will be right back after a quick break from our sponsors. Thank you for supporting those who support the show. You are listening to Workday Playdate on the Passion Struck Network. Now back to the show. You've facilitated workshops for every industry. Is there a moment in a workshop that you can think of when you saw somebody go from terrified of failing to actually enjoying it? Is there something that comes up for you?
I've definitely seen plenty of those moments. One that I can think of very visually was, we were doing the chicken dance at the beginning of a workshop. And in my experience with the chicken dance, there are often at least a few people who register skepticism immediately. They're like, why are these crazy people coming in and making me do the chicken dance? Mm-hmm. And then there hopefully usually is at least one or two that probably have that same thought of skepticism, but go, what the heck? I'm just going to go for it. And so I can picture this one woman registering a lot of judgment as we started the chicken dance, but someone across the circle just went for it.
Yeah.
And was having so much fun. And you could see her look at him and choose the fun.
Yes.
Like, I can sit here and judge it, or I can just have fun with it, even if I don't know why we're doing it yet.
So good. Susan Messing, one of my favorite, she's a very famous improviser in the Chicago improv community, says, if you're not having fun, you're the asshole. And I think it's so true with that, because if nobody wants to look silly doing the chicken dance, which, fun fact, we've trained over 56,000 people to chicken dance in 10 years, which is, I feel good about that.
Should be proud of that.
Yeah, we should celebrate that. But it really is like a moment when you finally flip that switch to, okay, I care, I care, I care. Oh, who cares? And you just let it ride, that surrender. Mm-hmm. I freaking love it. Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's talk about this, because again, in your evolution of improvising, you're now performing with the Second City's National Touring Company, which Anne Libera came on this show a little while ago, which was so amazing. I had like a my 22-year-old self was freaking out in that moment. She was so amazing. But you are at this amazing touring company. You're performing in front of strangers in different cities every week. This summer, you'll be stationed in Chicago. But every other time in the fall and the winter, you are traveling to different cities. So how do you keep the fun instead of letting any night that you might feel like you have, quote unquote, failed become pressure? What are some tips that come up for you?
Oh, I think a big one touring is every audience is different. Yeah. And everyone shares their enjoyment of the show differently. So sometimes we can get used to like really raucous laughter, but other times we might be in more traditional theater spaces where either literally the sound isn't traveling to us in the same way, mm-hmm. or they might just not raucously laugh because they want to be polite and have a polite chuckle and then wait for the next line. And so just understanding that every audience is different. And sometimes, you know, there are plenty of people in the audience that are not enjoying the show, but there is always at least a few that came to that show and this is meaningful to them. Yeah. Not everything that we do is for everyone. And that is hard to accept. But when you can accept it and go from lamenting the fact that some people aren't laughing or they're not laughing as loud as you want to, or sometimes they're even making a stink face. Go from lamenting that to focusing on the people who are trying to give you their energy or who want to give you their energy, but maybe can't because they're just discovering this for the first time and still giving it your all. Because there's no way to know if something works or not, or what you're capable of if you don't go for it.
Yeah. Oh, so true. It's so true. And like, you are literally a living testament to just picking up, taking what you've gained from that audience, moving to the next city, tweaking it, and just learning again. It's a learning process too, is what I'm hearing from you. Like every night is different. And like you said, it's not, we have to accept that. Like here, I heard a quote once from a mentor of mine who was no longer with us, Wayne Dyer. I love him. And he said, because he did a lot of public speaking, and he said, if you can get mass consensus, so like when you vote, you know, mass consensus is 51% of the population. So if you could get 51% of the audience on your side, you've won the room. Mm-mm. And I keep that in mind too, because some like when I'm doing keynotes by myself without y'all, it is like, I'm on that stage alone, flopping alone. And that's a different failure than flopping with an ensemble.
Totally.
And so I think that that is a really great point, is just keeping in mind that not everybody is going to be your cup of tea. So go be your own coffee. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, your own coffee. Catherine.
Okay. So let me ask you this. If you could say a failure that you're most grateful for, like if you could send a thank you card to that failure, which one would get a stamp?
A couple years ago, I was doing a show and it was for a corporate audience, and something about the alchemy of my day, the cast I was working with for the very first time, and the audience, I had like a complete anxiety attack on stage. Wow. And it was, maybe the only time that has happened. I've been nervous on stage for sure. But I was in the middle of interviewing an audience member and I went like tunnel vision as I was trying to talk to him. And I'm pretty sure I muddled through. Like outwardly, I don't know that anyone knew that that was happening internally. But I do feel grateful for it because afterwards, I was a little bit perplexed why it happened. It was not a particularly high stakes show. It wasn't, nothing about it seemed to set up for anxiety. But what I took from it was, even in a relatively low stakes situation, my brain was putting really high stakes on top of it. Mm. I was just putting so much pressure on myself. I don't think I'd been sleeping well or eating well leading up to that. And so it was kind of just a recipe of in some ways, my brain and my body were like not in line with each yeah. other. And so it was kind of a wake-up call that, A, to take care of myself, and B, to be aware of when I'm taking a low-stakes situation and making it high-stakes, mm. where I might be putting that pressure on myself to be perfect,
yeah.
Or to knock it out of the park, when really all that is needed of me in that moment is to do the job in front of me, make that next right choice, and let it be what it is.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that. I feel like a lot of people don't talk about that anxiety, and that's super important to recognize and to check in with yourself to get your mind and body back into alignment. And you did that. So give that little thing a stamp. Thank you. Thank you for next time. Mm-hmm. That's a like a really good segue too, because I want to talk to the peeps. If somebody here listening today is having a hard time with failure and they cringe, they spiral, they replay the same thing over and over in their head at 3 a.m, what would you say to them? What's this one step they could take towards making failure feel friendly or lighter?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that idea of like ruminating on the thing that happened, I think I've started to do is like make a physical noise almost like to release it.
Oh, like so what? Give me an example.
Sometimes I'll go la la la, or I'll go ma.
I love it. Wait, ma reminds me of High School Musical. Do you ever watch High School Musical?
Oh, yeah.
Ma! Yeah. Okay. Yep. Oh, my God. I love it.
It is a little like theater kid nerd. So, you know, maybe not when you're like in the middle of a quiet office, but, yep. But yeah, like, and also remembering that, no one is thinking about you as much as you are.
Yep.
And if you can find a way to laugh at the flub that you have or the misstep that you had, that is the key to really all healing, I think.
It really is. Let's just laugh more. Like, well, come on. Let's just let. Okay, I love that. I love the noise. I'm going to think about that as I ruminate. That was for me. I was asking a friend. So okay, Catherine, I could talk to you for a million years, but I'm gonna let you have your day back. But before I do, I want to know, how are you going to make your workday more playful today?
That's a good question for today, because I have a lot of opportunities to make it more playful. I think my goal is when I show up for things, I have a few different meetings, trust whatever prep work I've done up until then. Even if it isn't as much as I hoped I would have, just trust I've done whatever preparation I need to do and be present in the meeting that I'm at.
Oh, I love that. Just being present is playful, because sometimes we don't even allow ourselves that gift, you know? Mm-hmm. Presence is a gift.
It is.
All right, Catherine, I love you. I'm so glad you were here. I had the best time connecting with you on a beautiful Mediterranean Sea. I saw like all the snacks, and you were the snack. Okay, you were the snack. I love you so much. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, peeps, as we wrap, here's what I want to leave you with. Failure does not have to be heavy. It doesn't have to be a crisis. It could be an experiment. It could be a scene that bombed and a story you tell your friends later. It could be the thing that taught you more than any success ever could. And yes, it can be kind of fun if you let it. Catherine Savage, I want to thank you so much for being the living, breathing proof that failing with joy is not only possible, it is the whole point. You are such a gem, and I'm so glad that you're a part of this Improve It team. And now it's time for the playdate practice. Okay, this week, I want you to fail on purpose. Pick something small. Try a new recipe you've never made. Say yes to karaoke. Volunteer to go first in a meeting when you normally hang back. Do something where the outcome is uncertain. And instead of bracing for impact, notice how it feels. Because here's the secret. When you choose to fail instead of having failure happen to you, it stops being a threat and starts being a gain. And games, my peeps, are supposed to be fun. Don't forget to take the quiz, How Do You Lead Through Failure and Uncertainty? It's in the show notes, and it's the perfect next step after everything we talked about today. And until next time, keep playing, keep learning, and keep failing forward. I'll see you next time on Workday Playdate with Improve It.